The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of Ecclesia Houston. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to follow Jesus, the liberating King, and live in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
I would love to invite all of our kids. If you are feeling childlike, you could join us as well. If you're a parent and would love to join us, we would love to have your presence and attention. You guys can come sit next to me while we get to share and all that. Jack, you want to come sit with me? Jack's getting baptized today. It's a really special day to have Jack as a part of the kids' sermon. And I was hoping that all of you could help me think through an important question and that you might have some insights that would help the grown-ups. What we've learned is that grown-ups get busy, and they get distracted, and sometimes they forget some of the most important things. And I was wondering what you guys think. Can you think of anything that is more fun than a birthday party? What do you think, Ben? A water park. What if you had a water park birthday party? That's to watch TV. You think that's more fun than a birthday party? What do you think, sweetie? To make new friends. That is a great thing to do. Yeah, what do you think, sweetie?
To spend time with God.
To spend time with God. These are all really good. What if that birthday party was the time that you got to spend with God? What if the birthday party was a birthday party for God? Did you guys know that it's November 24th? And that means that in 1 month, we're all going to be back here, and I get to tell you a story on December 24th about the best birthday party ever, right? Now, can you imagine in the whole world, everyone's going to come together and celebrate the birthday? Silas, I'm going to ask you a question in just a minute. So I wanted you to think about this question with me. Can everybody remember your last birthday party? Think back on what it was. Where were you? Think about that birthday party. And what if you had 100 people come to that birthday party? And you got to the end of the party, and you looked around, and guess how many birthday presents you had with 100 people at your party? Guess how many presents you got?
1,000.
You got 0 presents.
What?
0. How would you feel if you had 100 people at your birthday party and you got 0 presents?
Angry.
You'd be angry. Sometimes the girls just go straight to mad. What do you think? How would you feel?
I'll be super angry.
Super angry. So can you imagine this? How would you feel, Silas? Tell us.
I would be Jesus.
You know what? You are so smart. Did you know that a lot of times we celebrate Jesus' birthday party and we give tons of gifts to each other and we forget to give gifts to Jesus? That's a great question. Say it again so everybody can hear.
How do you do that?
That is such a great... Some of the grown-ups have been wondering too, how do we give gifts to Jesus? So in the Bible, Jesus told us, because he knew, he explained, I won't always be with you in the flesh right here. And he said, if you want to give to me, you can give to the least of these. That means the poor. In fact, then he's like, sometimes people might not understand. So he said, let me give them a real clear example. He says, like, if someone's thirsty and you give them water, it's exactly like you gave it to me. So at Ecclesia, we've decided about 18 years ago, we decided it would be really good at Christmas to make sure that everybody has clean water. Because you know what? I can get on an airplane and I could fly for about 6 hours or 5 hours, take a short drive, and I could be in a place where kids your age are drinking water from like a stream or a river. And they pull it out and it's sometimes kind of muddy. And sometimes because it's a river or a stream, the animals, like their waste is in it. And you know what happens when those kids drink it? Their tummy hurts a lot, right? Sometimes they stay sick. And we, at Christmas, can do what Jesus said, and we can give a gift to Jesus. And we can help a bunch of kids not feel sick. And we've decided that would be a really important thing. And most of us, we have the ability to do a lot of it. All of our families, when we pull all of our gifts together, we've learned through the years, when all of our families give and we put it in one big pile, it's a lot. And we can help a lot of kids. But you know what? Sometimes the grown-ups, they get really busy and they just don't think about it. And so I've got a special assignment for all of you during this season. And I want you to do it. Nobody else can do it like you can do it. Every time you sit down at the table and you eat and you have some water there, or when you get up and you brush your teeth and you drink, you get anybody wake up and you're thirsty in the morning? Anybody else and you're just like, oh, you can drink a whole cup of water? Whenever you do that, whenever you're with your family, will you stop them and say, hey, let's say a prayer and let's thank God that we have clean water and let's remember people that don't. And that'll help us think about how we give a gift to Jesus at Christmas. Do you guys think you could do that for all of us and your families and just be the reminder and like, wait, we're going to pray, but don't forget we're going to pray for people that don't have clean water and we're going to thank God that we do have it. So you think we could do a practice prayer here right now? Would that be a good thing to do? Will you guys grab a hand of somebody around you? And we're just going to hold hands. You can have multiple hands if you want. There you go. And there you go. Now we're all kind of linked together. Silas, grab somebody's hand right there. I'm gonna do a little practice prayer with you. And then this will be kind of like the prayers that you can pray at home. God, we thank you for the miracle that clean water comes right into our house. And we ask you to forgive us when we forget how important it is. And we pray that you would be with the kids whose tummies are hurting, who might not be drinking clean water, and that you would help us to find them and to share with them. We pray this in your name. Amen. You guys are awesome. I think that's going to be a really helpful plan for all of our families, don't you? So I would love it if you guys would do this. If you are kindergarten and older, will you go with Miss Jen? And Miss Jen's going to take you to your class if you're kindergarten or older. If you're younger, I would love for you just to go right back to your parents, and they're going to help guide you towards the best. What is it, Silas? Yeah, that's a good thought. I love that one, Silas. Thank you. Silas is reminding us that we have other people that we love that are in heaven. And it's amazing how much we can learn if we listen to our kids, right? And for most of us, one of the things we've learned at Advent is that if any of these kids, if anybody was aware right now, if we told you, hey, there's one of our kids here and they're going back to a place where they don't have the food they need, and they're not drinking clean water, we would do anything. We would turn over any stone to say, we're going to make that happen. And the truth is that kids everywhere belong to us. And my hope and prayer is that we'll be able to care for them well as well. My job this week is to help carry us from a beautiful series that we've been in the book of Acts and into Advent. And I wanted to do it with some reflection. When we started, we did the second half of Acts this fall. At the beginning of the year, we did the first half of Acts. And you may or may not remember, most of you can't remember what I preached last week. Does anybody know if I even did preach last week? Were you? I can't remember, apparently, if I preached last week or when. But what I told you at the beginning of this series was that I love this book that we've been in Acts so much because in some ways, it's the book that saved my faith and that led me to start Ecclesia. When I was a kid, my dad and grandfather are both pastors. How many PKs do we have? Do we have pastor's kids in the room? How many? I need to see a few. Good. See, the fact that pastor's kids are in church is a miracle, right? Just in and of itself. Like, they write rock and roll songs about how crazy pastor's kids are. In part because what happens, pastor's kids can verify, is that you do see the best, but you also see the worst. And when you see the worst and you're a kid and your kids are like, if you hadn't figured out, like, they're like, they have a high level of sensitivity to hypocrisy or any bull, right? Kids find it, they identify it. And they're great for us in that way. And I remember being a kid and saying, Dad, what the church is doing here, like, this doesn't make sense. This isn't right. This is hypocritical. This is really condescending. Like, and my dad just kept telling me over and over again, like, your complaining is going to do no good in the world. What I would love to see you do is to read the book of Acts, figure out what you think the church ought to look like, and go make it that. Like, if you think it should be something different, then be a part of creating that. And that challenge had me reading this book and going, like, that's what I want to be a part of. And it gave me a passion for the church that ultimately now I've gotten to spend 25 years leading the same church. And so today I wanted to remind you, or some of these might be new to you, of some things that are integral to the life of Ecclesia that come from the book of Acts and from this understanding. And the first one is exactly what we were just talking about. It's what you're going to experience during Advent. That the care for the poor for the church is not an afterthought. It's not an add-on. It's not an extra thing that you do when you can. It's central to who we are. That there's this sense that you can know about our own maturity because you look at your own life, right? I can tell you, you know a little bit about your spiritual maturity if you just look at your bank account or your garage. Anybody have more extra in your garage than, like, you could furnish the apartments of the world with the extra, right? And there's this sense when we look at our lives that the church is about, hey, God says, I'm going to give you all that you need. Some people are going to have a lot, and some people are going to have a little. I'm going to plan for you guys to sort it out and share the extra with those that need it so that no one would be without. And so I love personally being a part of a church that has said, you'll notice on your row, you'll notice when you walk around that there will be people that have very little currently at this place in their life and people that have much. And we all stand as equals together, and we walk together, and we serve together, and we share together, and we eat together, because it's important. So 18 years ago, we were in this place as a church where, because I love Jesus, I'm willing to go to foreign countries and difficult places. And that love for Jesus led me to a hard place called the Bahamas. And as I suffered there with some fellow pastors, right, a meal happened that changed our worlds and maybe a few others. And at that meal, my friend Rick McKinley said these words that I'll never forget and that may sound wrong to you in this season, but as pastors, we knew what he was saying. And we finished a meal. My friend Rick McKinley just said, I hate Christmas. And we all said, like, we get it. Like, if you can imagine, especially at that place in our life, as pastors, part of what we're doing is getting up every December and telling the story of God choosing to be born of the world as a person so that he could teach us how to really live and love and care for others and give all that we have to be who God made us to be and establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And while we were doing that and telling that story, we were watching the people that we love dig deeper and deeper into debt to buy consumer gifts to give to each other as a tribute to said Jesus, and to get lost in selfishness along the way and to start the new year in debt. And we just went, we all looked at each other and just were like, we can't do it anymore. And in about 15 minutes, we mapped out this thing and we just said, what if we went back and challenged our people to say, no more. You're not consumers, you're creators. You're a part of creating the world that is to be. And so we're not going to consume at this Christmas season. We're going to give and we're going to share. And we said we were going to be a people that worship fully and spend less and give more and love all. We said that's who we want to be. And we came back and challenged. At that point, you got to know this, 18 years ago, I think the budget for Ecclesia was like $250,000. We had 17 parking places. We were in this tiny little building. There were like five people with jobs. And I thought if we raised $10,000 to fund one water well, it would be a small miracle. And the kids explained it, just like they did today, in ways that we were like, this is the most important thing we can do. And if we just keep piling up our extra, we're not passing on the faith to them that we want. And that very first year, Ecclesia raised over $100,000. Literally, our budget was $250,000 that we said, this is all to go with our partner at Living Water International to go drill water wells, to put places that it matter. Ecclesia, this is at the heart and the core of who we are, to care for the poor close to us. And my hope and prayer is that we're a people that wake up each day. Anybody read stories about what's happening in HISD and you just have this feeling like, I need to do something. Am I the only one? If you read a story and you just read it and you go like, our kids deserve better than this. They deserve better than this. Well, guess who's responsible? We are. And we have to figure out, what does it mean to care for these kids? And I love being a part of the church because we're not perfect, but at the end of the day, we know this rests on us. If kids are drinking dirty water, it's on us. If our kids aren't getting food at lunchtime when they go to school, it's on us. And I love having that clarity that comes to say, the poor are our focus. So in this season, I got one request for you. I got one question, and I know half of you will never raise your hand when I ask you a question, but I want an honest answer. How many of you are barbarians like me and you drink water straight from the tap? Just Houston's finest, right out of the tap. You drink it proudly. I'm so glad there are others. You are nasty people. You just drinking that dirty water, right? If you're like me and you get up and you drink it, this is what I want you to know, right? You can Google it, figure it out. You can try to figure out the math. But I'd love for you to be a barbarian with a purpose, okay? So if you're drinking that tap water like me, you probably know that if you were like the people next to you and you bought bottled water, you'd be spending $500-$600 this year just on your bottled water. What if, when people ask you, why are you so disgusting and you drink the tap water, you could tell them, well, it's because at my church, I'm giving the money I would have, right? If I bought bottled water, I'm giving that to provide clean water for other people. I'm just suggesting, I'm throwing out there. And then when you go to the tap, you have a little bit of sense of like, hey, this is a good thing, what I'm doing right here. Now, how many of you are bougie and you are like, you're like a water sommelier. You taste the iron in it and you're like, oh, this has got a little too much chlorine. You got all the, like, you raise your hand proud. We know who you are. Oh, yeah, you are spending the money. You're Daddy Warbucks. We get it. You got cash just flowing out because you can buy water in a bottle. How many of you drink that Fiji stuff? You're like, oh, yeah, give me the $6 bottle. I'll take it, right? This is what I want you to do. When you do that, we just say, like, this is what I prefer. But I think probably I could designate a part of what's coming in, like, so that I can care for some others while I do it. I would love at Ecclesia for we do it every day. How many of you have a cup? You get old, you got a cup right by your bed. You're gonna get older and you're gonna drink more of it and you're gonna get up more. It's bad, guys. I'm just telling you, like, it's bad. By the time you get to your 50s, you just feel like, I didn't sleep. I just walked to the bathroom all night. It's all I did, right? That just every time you take a drink, you go, you know what? I'm blessed. I've been given something that many people across the globe don't have. And I want to thank God for it. And out of that generosity, out of that gratitude, I want generosity to flow. I think it'd be a great thing. I took too long on it. Let me share with you the second one. One of the things I love about the book of Acts and the New Testament is it teaches us one of the essentials of where faith shifted when Jesus showed up on the scene. Now remember, Jesus showed up on the scene. And to access God or to have sins forgiven, you went through a priest. There was a big veil. There was this whole experience in the Holy of Holies where they had to offer these sacrifices so that sins could be commuted. And when Jesus died, the veil was torn, and this group of ragtag tax collectors and fishermen were left in charge of what would emerge to be the church. And in it, those that led the church declared what that veil being torn symbolized was that now all of us were priests. You got to hear this, Ecclesia. Acts in the New Testament teaches this. There's this thing called the priesthood of all believers. Everybody. That we're all a priest. You don't have to go through a priest to have your sins forgiven. You don't have to go through a priest to hear from God. God talks to all of us. In fact, I want to suggest to you that if you listen to God, you will do things differently over the course of the week. Many of us know that when we've tuned into what God's saying, God will say to us, you have a coworker and they're struggling. And you don't know why. You don't know the story. You'd know enough to go, hey, you want to have a coffee? How many of you have had this happen? You just raise your hand. I've heard God tell, and you know what? I was right. I didn't know why. I had no idea. Nobody listens to the Holy Spirit on this half of the room. There were two people that listened to the Holy Spirit. Good. That's encouraging, right? And what happens is, this is the news that God speaks to people and he guides people, and you don't have to wait for somebody else. Now hear this, right? This means that all of us, if we're all priests, that we all have an outward focus, that we all now have a territory. We say, these are the people, they belong to me. I need to care for them, right? These HISD kids. It also means that we don't have to be responsible for the actions of everyone else, right? Anybody else love getting to sing that song, I Surrender All, that we just sang earlier, right? And you're just like, oh. Now, if you're singing that song and your thoughts while you're singing that song is the guy at the end of this row is not surrendering all. Like, I can tell, like, with shoes that expensive, like, he's not giving to the poor. Like, if you're concerned with others, this is the good news of the priesthood of all believers, is that God speaks to everyone, and they are responsible for how they follow God. Now, there are places that you may hear from God, and I go, well, that's not what God's saying to me exactly. And I know my life and circumstances are different, right? I've told you before, when I go to the ballpark, I'm a 2 hot dog guy. I can't eat more than 2 hot dogs. I don't care if it's dollar dog night. Third hot dog, and I'm down for the count. It's not good. I don't know how these people on ESPN can eat 100 hot dogs, right? My whole body would shut down. I know personally there are things that God's told me. Some of you, God said, don't drink alcohol. Some of you said, it's fine. For many of you, you look and you've got to figure out, and this is what the world desperately needs to hear, is that you must come to God with your sexual ethic. You must say to God, how am I to live out my sexuality in a way that honors you? But hear this, don't spend your time obsessing about someone else's sexual ethic. Let them hear from God. And you know what? If you're wrong or they're wrong, ultimately we'll get to heaven and we'll all figure it out. But the beautiful thing is that we get to walk together and say, what does it look like to love and honor Jesus while we walk together? And the priesthood of all believers invites us to say, we're all responsible to carry that forth. I got so much I could say about this, but I don't think I have time for all of it. Part of what that leads to is what I would call at Ecclesia, and by the way, this is part of what I love about this church. If I wasn't the pastor, I would be here still every Sunday celebrating the things that I love. And part of it is that it leads to what I would call a generous orthodoxy. Is it gets to, we get to say, like, I believe this and you believe that, and that's okay. That we get to walk together, and that there's a unity that we find in our diversity that actually makes us better, not weaker. Have you guys had any caffeine? I normally get like an amen somewhere in there. Somebody's like, I think that's kind of right. You guys are just staring at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. This is the good news is we don't need, has anybody noticed the chairs here? We're not looking for homogeneity. Not everybody needs to look the same or believe the same. That we can believe together in Jesus and that Jesus is doing a unique work in and amongst us, and we don't have to all, you won't hear at this church like these are the books you're not allowed to read, right? Read all the books. Let the Spirit guide you as you read the books, right? Be discerning and be wise. So one of the things I love about the Ecclesia we're going to get to do today, and I don't teach on it that often, but I want to teach you about it this week. And it's what we get to do in baptism. Now, you need to hear this. Many of us grew up in different traditions with very different experiences around baptism. And for many of us, we grew up in a denomination or in a tradition where we were told our tradition was what? It was the right tradition. Like, it's just our tradition, but it's also right, right? Anybody hear it? So I grew up in a Baptist tradition. And in a Baptist church, anybody else grow up in a Baptist church? Then if you did, you would have heard this sermon at least once a year. It was about baptism. And when you hear the sermon, they would explain to you. In fact, a lot of people that grew up in a Baptist church, they don't know any Greek words, but they know this one, right? It's the word baptizo, right? And they tell you, in the Bible, it says baptizo, and it tells you, what does it mean? Anybody Baptist enough to know what it means? It means you immerse. That's what they tell you. It means immerse. So much so that when I first started baptizing, I had a few people, like, just when you start to get them under, they get a little scared, and they push back. And You notice there's a patch of hair that isn't wet, right? And you're like, you're going down, brother. I got to get you under. Because my theological position was, you got to immerse, get them all the way under, right? And then you began to realize, and you read the Bible a little more, and you go, you know what? Actually, these other traditions, and you don't maybe immerse and you baptize. You could do what we did at the 9 o'clock, and we had a beautiful baby here, Terry, that we got to place water over his forehead and welcome him into Christian community. And we baptized differently. Now, what you need to know is that historically, churches were so fired up about being right that they not only fought about it and said we're right, some of them would kill each other over how right they were. Now, you need to know this. Whether we baptize a baby like we did Terry this morning, or we're going to do with Moses in just a few minutes, this is what we're saying. We're saying, you belong to God. If you come to faith a little later in life, or if you were dedicated as a kid and then you're baptized later, you know what the baptism says? Exact same thing. You belong to God. Nobody needs to fight. Like fighting over the Bible, you got to realize, like, that's like the stupidest thing ever, right? Like fighting over God, like no one should do that. And so any baptism declaring that people belong to God is great baptism. It's a good way to baptize. And some of us come from different traditions, and that's great. It makes us stronger and better. So what I want you to hear as we go into this Advent season, I want you to hear as we get ready to come to communion, is that we get to live in this generous orthodoxy, the kind of life I think we're made to live. Now, some of us will go, it feels lopsided because if my friend from this tradition comes to our church, we'll serve them communion, but if I go to their church, they won't. Anybody have that experience where you go to a church and you're like, oh, I'm left out. You're like, I'm a pastor. Like, I take this stuff seriously, but you won't. That's fine. I want to be on this end. I want to be on this end where we go, no, all are welcome. Everybody's welcome. Now, if somebody else is on the other end, that's their own thing to figure out. I just want to be on this end saying, all of you belong. Everybody's welcome at God's table. So this is what you're going to learn. How many of you at Ecclesia, you've served communion here at some point? Raise your hand if you've ever served communion at Ecclesia. All right. The rest of you just get here late, by the way. So if you would get here earlier, someone would ask you, or you should get here earlier and someone will ask you, or you just ask the info table. And I think all of us should at some point, because when you stand up here, you know what you're reminded of? You're a priest. And as a priest, when you declare over every brother and sister, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Beautiful things happen in your heart. And we need to be reminded that that good news is for all people.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.ecclesiahouston.org.